Please join me in prayer. God of all, we are a mixed bag of distracted and forlorn, eager and anxious. We hope that you might move through the obstacle course we build up around our hearts, made up of questions and defenses, and embrace us in good news. For at the end of the day, all we want is to know that we are not alone, that you are always near. So Lord, knock on our door, break down the defenses we place in front of our vulnerable hearts, and come into our hearts. Make yourself at home. Pull us close and tell us your story of unbelievable good news. We are listening. We are grateful. Amen. Now, my text for this morning comes from the first epistle of John. I'm reading from chapter 4, verse 7. We'll skip a few verses in the middle. You might understand why later. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. And those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is Jesus is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. And this is the word of the Lord. In 2007, I made my first mission trip to the state of Chiapas, the most southern state in Mexico. I led a group mostly from my church. It was an intergenerational trip. I would go on to spend 25 trips and 85 weeks in Chiapas over the years until the end of summer 2023. While in Chiapas, though, a most unusual thing happened to me at the Bible school in a place called Ocosingo. Somehow, and I don't remember, I wound up with a bilingual Bible in my hands, Spanish text beside English. I spoke no Spanish and recognized only a few words in those days. I do remember randomly turning to the Gospel of Matthew. My eyes stopped on these words from chapter 22 of Matthew, which I just talked about with the children. Ama a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I wrote those words in Spanish in my journal. Little did I suspect, indeed, how could I suspect, the impact that those terse phrases, that terse phrase was to have on the course of my life in Spanish. To this day, I remain puzzled why God seemingly spoke to me in Spanish. Because I spoke no Spanish. You have to love the sense of humor of the Holy Spirit, don't you? This is Epiphany Sunday. Epiphany meaning a sudden and unexpected insight, an intuitive grasp of reality through something such as an event that is usually simple but striking. This morning, we read the story of the wise astrologers who traveled a great distance to pay homage to a newborn child. They had seen a star, and miraculously, it seems, they grasped that this child was special. Their epiphany was that this child was the king of the Jews. Our epiphany is different. Our epiphany is to recognize this child as the Messiah, the King of Kings, the very Son of God. And every year during the Christmas season, we are invited into this epiphany we're invited to contemplate and to grasp the extraordinary event of God becoming flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. My personal and profound epiphany flowed from a simple verse of Scripture, Ama a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. Love, the central organizing principle of the Christian life, as I've referred to in many prior sermons, the guiding principle of Judaism is taught by Jesus, the good Jew. The key to understanding the Rabbi Jesus, as he taught the way to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God that is here right now for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, the theme I keep returning to in my preaching when given the opportunity to do so, the theme that infuses my understanding of everything that I have lived into believing about being a follower of Jesus. How plain, how full, and how deep a compendium of genuine Christianity. So said John Wesley, the great Methodist, about the first letter of John. Although the author is anonymous and not the Apostle John, it is a striking little letter. Its authority is dependent on its ideas and its straightforward explication of Christian principles rather than the identity of the author. So we turn to chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to inaugurate eternal life, says the Gospel of John. Psalm 136 reflects in every verse that God's steadfast love for humanity endures forever. Jesus taught the way of love, as we see in all our Gospels. The entire Torah, the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, is really about the loving relationship between God and the people he called to become his community and whom he led out of slavery in Egypt. Love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God. Everyone who loves knows God. They know the heart of God intimately. Whoever does not know love does not know God, for the simple reason that God is love. For the author of 1 John, God's love was best revealed in Jesus. God sent his Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this way, God demonstrated his great love for us. It was not because we properly loved him first, but because God loved humankind first. God loved us and sent the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. Or in the words of Jesus that are branded in my soul, anybody want to try this with me? Ama a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. No one has ever seen God. Think about that for a moment. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. 1 John contains a very clear warning for all of us. Those who say, I love God, but they hate their brothers and sisters, are liars. All caps, liars. These are very strong words, words of indictment and judgment. Anyone who does not love a brother or sister whom they have seen in the flesh cannot love God whom they have never seen. That's just a matter of simple logic. If you cannot love what is right before your eyes, how can you think that you love something ethereal, cosmic, otherworldly? That seems like a very fair question to me, and a question that answers itself. If you do not love those with whom you have physical contact and with whom you share the same space on this planet, how can you love the one without form, the one whose name is, I will be what I will be? In the Gospels of Matthew and Mark, Jesus tells us that we must love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind. Jesus also gives us the commandment to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. In 1 John, the same commandment is stated as this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Love of God and love of other people are two sides of the same coin. And what does this look like? Each of you can probably immediately think of dozens of examples. I'll try this one. Fresh Food Wednesday. Every Wednesday when I arrive here at this church at 3 o'clock to help Mark set up, Many people are busy in the back packing boxes, bags with food. They've been here all day. I don't even know the names of most of these folks. Many more will arrive to pass out the food. The effort is Herculean. The work, though, always gets done. Countless anonymous people receive food assistance every week due to this labor of love by this small church. They also feel the love of this church and its volunteers, and this is interesting, many of whom do not attend worship here. I never worshiped here until I started working at Fresh Food Wednesday. But you all know that example, right? So I'll offer two other examples that I was an eyewitness to. They come from Winter Shelter, the annual project in Virginia Beach. Our church runs that project in conjunction with Virginia Beach United Methodist Church. If you go by their sign on the highway today, two churches, 2 weeks, one Lord. That's our slogan for 2025, all right? During that program, we house and feed homeless people. It was cold last night. We had 50 people staying at the church. We are in the middle of the first week as I speak. I had to go home after breakfast with some homeless friends to take a shower so I'd look nice today. You think I look nice? I'm trying to do that, all right? On a night, four of us were at the Housing Resource Center on Witch Duck Road to pick up homeless guests and drive them back to First Presbyterian. It was extremely cold. As we stood on the sidewalk waiting for the homeless guests to come outside, a man who was not going to make the cut, sometimes they have to do a lottery because we don't have enough spaces, a man who was not going to make the cut walked toward us. His name was Leon. He seemed very agitated. He was obviously having a very bad day. He was facing the prospect of yet another night spent on the street. He had been punching a concrete column outside the building just as we were driving up. I was a little concerned that he might lash out at one of us. Another member of my church, though, perceived something different. He began to engage this homeless man in a simple thing called conversation. Then, in a remarkable gesture and a stunning insight, an epiphany, as it were, the member of my church hugged the agitated man, hugged him with gusto, hugged him with love. The agitated man began to cry on the shoulder of the one who loved his neighbor as he loved himself. Leon sobbed for all he was worth. The church member continued to hug his brother in Christ and to console him with kind words and quiet words. Not for a few seconds, but until the agitated man regained his composure. And this simple and brilliant gesture of love was what the other man needed. He needed a cup of kindness. That's all Leon really needed, somebody to respect his personhood. And this man gave it to him. Love as God himself would have loved Leon. Another young man, another year. Someone scared out of his wits by being on the street, sleeping around strangers. A local high school kid, imagine this one now. He was an articulate young man whose mother had thrown him out of the house at Christmas in the dead of winter. Sitting up in the atrium of our fellowship hall to ward off the demons swirling around him that night, what that boy needed was a friend, someone with no agenda other than listening and offering gentle guidance rather than trying to tell him what to do with his life. He found that in a church member who sat up with him after recognizing the incongruity of his presence at Winter Shelter. This 17-year-old boy had no business sleeping on the floor in churches around hardened homeless people. A bad, bad optic. Those two talked into the early morning, talked about real subjects and real problems, talked a little religion, talked about a way forward, talked until this boy knew that he was in a safe place in the church and that everyone had not given up on him. Soon he would have a job across Atlantic Avenue to a hotel. Soon he would not be riding the number 20 bus up Virginia Beach Boulevard to the Housing Resource Center every afternoon. All this young man needed that night and on into the morning was someone to love him. Love without judgment. Love like God would love. Love your neighbor as yourself. One more time, here it comes. Ama tu prohimo, como a ti mismo. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Is there anyone here this morning who thinks that Jesus was being funny or ironic? Because I sure don't. I think that Jesus was dead serious. The lawyer with whom he was having this discussion that day in Matthew certainly did not think that Jesus was being funny or metaphorical. In Mark's telling of this event, not you, Mark, but the gospel writer, right? The scribe responds to Jesus by saying that loving God and loving neighbor is much more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. Mark records that when the man said that, Jesus answered him and said, "You answered wisely. You are not far from the kingdom of God." It was not religious rituals or obligations or your denomination, how your liturgy is set up, that makes a difference. It's whether you love other people and love God. I chose not to use the Gospel of Matthew this morning, although I used it with young people, because I seem to use it too much. In Matthew, however, we find the crucial additions to these words of Jesus. After telling the lawyer to love God and neighbor, Jesus adds, "To love one's neighbor as oneself is like the commandment to love God. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets," Jesus says. The law and the prophets were the entire Hebrew Bible of Jesus' day. Everything Jesus is saying is based on loving God and other people. Indeed, as the Apostle Paul says in Galatians, "For the whole law is summed up in the single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Paul says the same thing in chapter 13 of Romans. These two commandments, love God with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, are not just like each other. They are the same commandment. When you love other people in the way that Jesus would love, you indeed love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And remember that Jesus gave love away for free. Amen. Now we turn to God at a time of prayer. Please bow with me. Dear Heavenly and Most Holy God, Creator of the universe, Sustainer of the earth, Father God, whose love for humanity knows no bounds, we boldly approach you with humility in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we begin the new year, we are painfully aware of old problems, and we lay them before you fully cognizant of our own complicity in them, disrespect for other people, racism, sexism, exclusion of people from our thoughts and prayers and assistance on account of their nationality, or their skin color, or their language, or their religion, failure to love you with our whole heart, soul, and mind, failure to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. We pray that your love and grace will flow to all of those that we do not love as Jesus commanded us to do. We pray that your love and grace will soften our hearts and expand our understanding of what our Lord expects of us as people who claim to be his followers. Shower all peoples with your love, Lord, as we know from Scripture you will, and forgive us for our failure to be faithful to the message of Jesus. May your light shine into all the dark corners of our world, and most especially into the dark corners of our hearts. And Lord God, yet again, random violence has struck our society in the senseless, evil acts of one man in New Orleans. We pray for the families who have lost a loved one. We pray for those injured in this tragedy. Be with the bereaved and injured. Walk with them and comfort them so that they might know that you did not will this evil and that you grieve with them. Even in this dark hour, may they know the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. Lord God, may your love and care and grace flow down upon this congregation as it continues its holy work of making disciples for Jesus Christ. Arm the members of this body of believers with a spirit of welcome and evangelism so that this place will always be a refuge for the weary who need a church home and a fountain of living water for thirsty travelers on the road of life. and a place where all might partake of the bread of heaven, your Son, Jesus Christ. There's work to be done to build up your kingdom, and we pray that each of us might become the instruments that you utilize to perform that work. Give us a spirit of courage to invite friends, relatives, co-workers, and strangers to join us in this sanctuary to worship God and to develop a relationship with your Son, Jesus. Let each of us be a beacon of hope in an often dreary world. Jesus calls us to be nothing less. Amen.